afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, August 9th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much.
Now, wait a minute.
As I imitate your southern accent.
Well, what can I say? I just kind of born in the wrong place. I can't talk like a Yankee.
You can't talk like a Yank, but us Yankees can talk like a southerner.
There you go. All right, folks. You heard a picket on me. I'm going to sue. Okay.
Oh, let's see. Well, somebody's picking on gold today. Once again, gold was down $33 today at $1,730.
Wow.
$1,730. Silver got hammered almost 4%, $23.53. Platinum is still holding at $986. Palladium was down $25 at $2,687. USDX today was higher by 0.19 at 92.97. Crude oil was down 150 at 66.81. I have no idea what the markets did. Oh, the Dow was down 100 points. It was there all day long. 35,101. S&P down 4, 44.32. And the NASDAQ was up 24 points at 14,860. Oh. 10-year yield today popped from, 118 to 1.32. Right, there you go. Why you have such pressure on gold. They took away my, I don't know why these websites change. Here we go. Europe. It was mixed over in Europe. Asia. Pretty much looks the same. So, I mean, all eyes are, all talk and discussions is all about the budgets. And I see where the Democrats released a $3.5 trillion budget plan as the Senate moves to pass the infrastructure bill. Now, there's two bills. You have the infrastructure bill, and then you have another one that they want to do. And then you have the budget. So, and I think most people will get confused over what's what and, you know, which is which. And so, I know you wanted to talk. I don't know which one that you wanted to talk about.
Well, the stimulus bill, but you know, when you look at this, it's they want $1.2 trillion now. I think it is.
Right.
They want it
That's
now
the
for
infrastructure
the infrastructure.
Bill.
Then, but mm-hmm. also Democrats want a $3.5 trillion stimulus budget and a $3.5 trillion infrastructure budget also.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. That's just loose change, right?
Hey, what's a trillion?
Yeah, really, really. And by the way, just quickly back on gold and silver. What a time to buy. Folks, get it while you can. How much are the premiums down now on silver and gold? What are they down
to? Well, premiums, they've come down, but, you know, the drop in silver hasn't done that much to the premiums. There's this, you know, you're still buying silver eagles over 30. You can get silver rounds for 28 or less. So gold eagles are still up there, but they're better than what they were.
Is there any advantage to buying silver eagles over silver rounds?
By a couple bucks.
I mean, is there any advantage over buying it? Should you buy the eagles or the rounds? Which one will be worth the most when it comes down to selling it?
It's not a matter of which one's going to come down, which is going to be worth more than the other. They're different products, so you're comparing apples to oranges. Right before the program, I had a customer that was looking to make a purchase, and he asked me the same question, and basically what it is the difference. You have the U.S. Mint, you have the U.S. silver dollar, it's backed by the government, it has a face value. Silver round is nothing but a silver bar in coin form. There's no face value. It's not backed by the U.S. government or anything like that. You're just buying an ounce of silver. They're created in the form of a coin. They're very easily stacked in tubes of 20. So they have some, the benefit to that is you buy your silver at a lower price. But it is important to own money. So silver eagles are important to own. And, but he, with the amount that he was purchasing, he was saving over $2,000 on the silver rounds compared to the silver eagles. It was 80 some ounces of silver.
Mm-hmm.
So he went with the silver rounds. And I think each person, everybody tries to fit everybody in a, you know, all, every, not everybody fits into a square peg. You have to look to what you've purchased. What are you going, where are you going in the future? Are you going to continue to buy? Are you going to continue to accumulate your precious metals? And I think that has a lot to do with what you buy today. But these are things that you have to have a conversation about. So if you don't want a conversation and you just want to buy at the lowest price, then go with the silver rounds. You know, when you go to sell them, well, if you're paying more for your silver eagle when you buy it, yeah, you'll get a little bit more for it when you sell it. Silver round, you pay less, so you'll get less when you go to sell it. But you still have a one ounce silver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the importance. Same way with the 90%. The 90% can usually give you a little bit better deal in your silver, but it's not a full ounce. So each product has their own purpose, a reason and a purpose to have in your portfolio. If you have enough money and you can diversify amongst them, that's fine. And it's also a personal preference. So a lot of people just want silver eagles, period. And that's okay. So.
And the point of it is, of course, you're safeguarding yourself with precious metals. That's the whole point of the whole thing.
You're converting those fiat dollars into a precious metals to protect your purchasing power.
That's the whole idea. Well, I'm just curious how that could work, because the silver rounds are pretty coins. They really are. You know, I've always liked the silver eagles myself. You know that. I give them to my grandbabies for birthday gifts. But I've always liked them because they are currency. They are, I guess you say, monies. They're currency. And they're minted by the U.S. Mint. So I do like the idea of that. But they are a beautiful, beautiful coin, are they not?
Absolutely, they are.
So that's why I prefer those. I just curious that when it comes to down to reselling, so the silver eagles will be worth a little more in the resale than the rounds will be, simply because of what they are. Okay, you answered my question. Now we can move on.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're more than welcome. More than welcome.
So we were talking about the infrastructure bill, and it's 2,700 pages.
Yes.
And you know it's going to get passed without anyone reading it again. That's what they always do. And you're only going
to
have your mainstream media talk about the things that they want you to know.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to talk about the other little things in there that, you know, they don't want you to know, that they're trying to keep quiet so people don't get outraged. And it truly is a amazing. And it's going to get done. And they only say that it's always paid for. It never is. It's paid for by debt.
It can't.
It can't be paid.
But you know, this budget they proposed is, from what I can see, is that probably the most socialistic budget that we've had so far. And that reaches into other areas, into many areas that nobody else has touched before, and in the areas we have been in before, that's increased the budget to increase the welfare state idea. It is totally a socialist, communist budget. And when we get a chance to go through some of the high points in it, because I think it's very important, we are being taken down really quickly under Biden into a purely socialist, communist government plan that's working very well, and they put it together in this budget in a lot of ways that people maybe won't pay attention to. I know they won't, but they should.
Absolutely. Well, did you want to? It's only.
I want a few high points because I think it's important. And everyone wants to help everybody. And I understand that. I do understand that. My goodness, I think anyone has a heart wants to see people helped. But we cannot, it's impossible for the few that are working to feed all those who aren't working or don't want to work. But this is the idea of communism. Take from those that have and give to the have-nots to the finally the ones that have no longer have. And then everybody's equally poor. But for the families, establish a universal pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds and new child care benefit for working families. Makes community college tuition free for 2 years. Extends the largest tax cut for families with children ever. Now, I like tax cuts. But who's going to make up the gap? Creates the first ever federal paid family and medical leave benefit. That is funded by the government, folks. For the first time, the so-called government, our tax dollars, will be funding paid family and medical leave benefit. That is socialized medicine. And believe me, folks, I just got a text from a person in France. They're under siege over there. The people are out in the streets by hundreds of thousands. They're threatening a trucker strike this coming Wednesday. Block off Paris. Blockade all the roads to Paris. This is coming Wednesday, folks. From a person that lives right there in France. And the hospitals, the people are quitting because they won't take the vax. They've been socialized for years, so they don't have the funds to take even bring in to buy the necessities like gloves and gowns. They said it looks like a third world hospital. This is coming to America, and we're getting there very quickly. And for climate, provides clean energy, manufacturing, transportation tax incentives and grants. What that means is, if you don't follow the rules, you're going to be fined. Or they'll may give you a tax cut if you're doing something they like, but they're going to fine you if you don't. Imposes new polluter fees on methane and carbon imports. That means more fines, more tickets, more control. Please read behind the lines here. Read between the lines. Don't take these good thoughts as what they're saying. You can't trust what they're telling you. Folks, if you trust the government, I have to say that you probably have an IQ of a tomato plant. And that's insulting tomato plant. But that's just the way it is. Provides new consumer rebates for home electrification and weatherization. What that means is, if your home doesn't come up to par, then you'll be fined for polluting the air and not heating your house efficiently. It also means, like right now in Texas, they can control your thermostat via your smart thermostats and meters, and they'll do the same thing countrywide. Provides environmental justice and climate resilience. Provides environmental justice. Boy, that's a broad perspective. Who, what, when, and where is going to meet this justice? Farmers who have cattle that wade in the creek get a drink of water, maybe, who maybe poop in the creek or pass methane gas. I just read to you folks, they want to regulate the methane. Well, that's why they want to outlaw cattle, because cows pass gas and that's methane, so cows are causing pollution. Now, I'm not making this up. This has already been talked about, but this is what's going to happen if this budget is passed and these issues are left in there. They're going to fine everyone, right down to the littlest individual, if you do not do what they say to take care of the environment. Please think about that. They want to provide historic levels of investments in public housing, green and sustainable housing, housing production, and affordability. The government is going to get more involved in telling you how to build your homes, what kind of homes you should live in. They're going to build more HUD homes, if you will, and they will own them. The people will rent them. They will be controlled by everything the feds say, because, after all, the feds are feeding them, have the right to tell them what to do. Do you see the control behind this? Establish the first ever civilian climate corps. What's a civilian climate corps? Like a peace corps?
While we tattle on one another.
That's what big ideas.
So and wow. So and so did this.
I mean, this is, Melanie, this is absolutely insane. Invest in workforce development and job training programs to connect workers to good paying jobs. They've been doing that for years through different processes. What's this going to mean? Provide green cards to millions of immigrant workers and families. Illegal? Probably. Yeah, big deal, right? fund smart technology for safe and efficient borders for trade, travel, and migration. Smart technology means when you travel, you're going to be followed, monitored, and probed, and who knows what else. Largest ever one-time investment in Native American infrastructure projects. I have no problem with that. I don't. But the issue is this, again, how are they going to pay for it? New economic development investment to revitalize communities and transform regions for new innovation jobs. Is this the government's role in private industry to go in and revitalize the communities and help develop the industries that will give them new jobs? Is that what the government's here for? Are they supposed to regulate this also? Invest in research and development and strengthen U.S. manufacturing supply chains? Really? Boy, that's all we need. Every time the government touches something, they corrupt and tear it apart. That's why an aspirin costs you $100 in the hospital. Expands access to capital markets for small businesses. Folks, if businesses borrow from the government controls the business. Let that sink in. Adds a new dental, vision, hearing benefit for to the Medicare program. Hey, I'm on Medicare. I'm 73 years old next month. Who is going to pay for all this? How are they going to pay for it? Extends the recent expansion of the Affordable Care Act in the ARP. Really? How? Invest in home and community-based services to help seniors, persons with disabilities, and home care workers. All this sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Creates a new federal health program for Americans in the Medicaid gap. The government's going to run more medical care. I think you call that socialized medicine. Ask a lady in France how it's working out for them. Reduces prescription drug costs for patients and saves taxpayers hundreds of billions. Oh, the agreement calls for a $3.5 trillion in long-term investments to be fully offset by a combination of new tax revenues, health care savings, and long-term economic growth. How are we going to raise $3.5 trillion to pay for this budget when we are already at least $35 trillion in debt and no way to pay it back? Melody, this is absolutely insane. It's what's being proposed. I'm convinced most of it's going to pass. So here we go, another huge step towards a socialized communistic system. Now, that's my comments on that.
Well, you took it right up to the break. So, but yeah, it really is. And I mean, it's done time and time again. Nobody reads anything. Nobody cares about anything. Everybody thinks it's going to create all these jobs. And all it does is take more money out of the pockets of the taxpayers. You know, I was just reading there's something in this, though, I think it was in the infrastructure bill about the cryptocurrencies, how they want to tax it and regulate it more and
yes,
so forth.
Yes, yes.
And then I'm reading about how many lobbyists the crypto industry has. And I mean, and the amount of money that they spend in D.C. to get what they want. I mean, it's just the same old BS
over
on a
and
different
over
day.
And over.
We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TeamUpRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Oh, heading into the break, we were talking about all of the infrastructure spending, the stimulus, the budget. I mean, everything is just coming wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And here we are with gold down as much as it was. Everybody thinks that there's a strong rebound in the U.S. and that they think that the Fed is going to pull back on stimulus sooner than expected. How many times did Powell have to tell you and everybody else it's not going to be until 2023? And it's like,
if then.
If then.
And how can they say pulling back when it wouldn't spend $3.5 trillion? They'll come back on what?
Yeah.
And have they raised the debt limit yet?
No. No.
So is anybody looking at that now?
No. No.
So what's the use to even talk about it, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Unbelievable.
You just ignore it long enough. I guess old Yellen's in there. She pulled some investments out of the retirement plans and or put a stop, you know, put a hold on it, or, you know, in the federal retirement plans and things like that. And, you know, but you don't see any, yeah, I can't find anything on it. Don't see anyone talking about it.
Are you hearing more about the, now this is only rumor to me, I haven't got this confirmed, that they want to put an extra $200 on Social Security checks starting the first year. Is that anything true to that, or have you heard anything about that?
They said it was going to rise, but it isn't $200. I mean, come on.
Oh, I didn't think that would be possible.
No, no.
So
I think we figured it out. It would equal, like, what, $60 a year or something like that, or a month or something.
Wow, man. Yeah. But you see, the thing that's not being mentioned we're going to cover now is what all this printing has done. It says Fed on verge of losing control. 25% of it, consumers expect inflation 3 years to explode to 8%. And, yeah, that's, I guess he called that an explosion. But, my friends, unless something happens, it's going to be a whole lot worse than that. I guarantee it is. And besides that, even at 8%, they'll still be lying to us. They won't be counting food and the fuel and energy. So it's going to be closer to probably 20%. And I'd say right now, to be quite honest, Melody, and I'll get to the article in a second, I'd say real inflation right now is probably closer to 10% or better, wouldn't you?
I agree. Wholeheartedly.
So, they're lying to us, people. Even at the worst, even at the highest they admit to us, they're lying to us. It says, while central banks, tenured economists, and financial media are doing everything in their propaganda power to convince Americans that the current phase of hyperinflation is merely transitory, although now appears that even the Fed is getting some doubts writing in a semi-annual monetary policy report that inflation is more lasting but likely still temporary until proven otherwise, of course. The shocking reality on the ground is that the Fed has effectively lost control over near-term inflation expectations, as New York Fed's own survey, Consumer Expectations, reveal. According to the latest July installment of this closely watched survey, consumer inflation expectations for 1 year ahead hit a fresh all-time high for this series of 4.84% in June, rising from 4.80% in June, which took Turnpost, the biggest increase on record, surging to in May to 4.0%, but it from May to 4.0%. And in the clearest testament yet to just now close, the Fed is losing control over expectations. While the median 1 year expectation inflation rate is 4.8, the upper end of the dispersion range is going to be a mind blowing 8.5 or more, I will say. Now, I don't know how to get that in numbers to make anybody, even myself, understand it all, but I know for a fact that Marsh and I, are feeling the budget or the inflation crunch on our budget. And 8% is double what they say it is right now. But folks, I promise you, it's 10% or better now, and it'll go to 20%, I think, for before the end of the year. I do believe that because fuel and energy, I say, is not being counted. Winter time's coming, and people are going to be heating their houses with natural gas and propane and other ways. We're going to see things increase. And I don't want to scare you. I really don't. But it is what it is. The Great Reset is happening. It's being put together right now through a lot of ways, including the COVID nonsense. We're seeing this come together, Melody. And we in America have never seen, at least not for a very long period of time, inflation rates as other nations have seen. And I think it's going to be really a big shock for all of us, don't you?
Well, sure. I mean, they've deferred our inflation through various marketing gimmicks, and you know, people have fallen for it. People don't relate it to, you know, what true inflation really is. And because we don't have the proper schooling anymore. We don't have the proper educations. It's people don't know what inflation is. And they just find life is harder. They're working harder. And it doesn't seem like they're getting ahead. No one's getting ahead. We just work, and they take more and more taxes, and things are becoming more expensive, and we're just kind of in a holding pattern for a lot of Americans. Not everybody, for a lot of Americans, and for the ones who can least afford it, for the lower incomes, yeah, they really feel it. And, you know, and they do look to government to help them out with their power bills, to help them out with their rent, to help them out with everything so they can't get by. They become dependent on the food stamps. They get dependent on not paying for health care. There was an article out today where renters are behind $3,700 in rent that's just on average. And that was in Alabama. Can you imagine where
states.
It's at in
wow.
Washington State or California or Arizona and the rest of the world, the United States? There's some numbers that's $5,300 or more. If you go into, you know, you go into Jersey, and if you go into New York, it's probably $10,000 plus that they're behind on.
Well, I think we all need to refresh yourself by reading the scripture, Jeremiah 17, verse 5. But also, you've heard the old adage that you don't bite the hand that feeds you?
Yes.
If you depend on government to take care of you, you're not going to say anything about what you're doing, are you? You don't want to insult them. You want your money. That's what it's boiling down to.
Well, they always come out with a, you know, various reasons why these problems are happening instead of the real reason. And it would give themselves away, and they certainly can't, you know, tell you the truth as to why these things are happening, why you can't get ahead, and you know, why we're having these problems, because it would expose the corruption.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It would. It really would. And another thing I got for it too is shipping costs, according to the article. We don't think about that because we don't really think shipping. You know, we know it's there, but we don't add that into the equation. But this looks like, according to this article, we need to brace yourself for astronomical shipping costs as China goes into lockdown mode. Now, folks, let's face it, China supplies us, basically the world, but the U.S. with a lot of stuff. If their prices go up, guess what else goes up? Our prices go up. With the latest weekly update of container shipping rates showing that prices, already at all-time high, simply refuse to back down as rates from China to U.S. surpassing a record $20,000, and new threat looms which could send already sky-high prices into orbit. As the Delta variant spreads on the mainland, most Chinese ports are now requiring COVID tests for all crew, with vessels forced to remain at anchor until negative results are confirmed, requiring ships to quarantine for 14 to 28 days if they previously berthed in India or changed a crew within 14 days of arriving. That spells further delays, further price increases, and according to Splice, shipping will need to start to make contingency plans should China, the world's most important nation for shipping movements, emerge as another pandemic epicenter. The Delta variant has broken through the country's virus defenses, which are some of the strictest in the world. and reached nearly half the Chinese 32 provinces in just 2 weeks. While the overall number of infections, more than 360 so far, is still lower than COVID rate resurgence elsewhere, the widespread indicates that the variant is moving quickly, with many means of Chinese now locked down. For freight markets, the implications include delays at ports as authorities screen crews of incoming vessels and a hit to China's oil demand if widespread lockdowns are imposed. Now, folks, this is very serious. When a COVID-19 outbreak was detected at Yantian port in late May, operations at the key southern Chinese export hub were slashed by 70% for the most of June. Similar disruptions are in the cards in the coming weeks, while shipyards are also likely to see the delivery schedules come under pressure if any water lockdown measures are taken. So add to the cost, for whatever reason may be, add to it the fact that the products are costing triple what it took before to get them over to us. Add to that, and how much do you think you buy in a store now that comes from China? How much in the way of clothing, probably, and household goods come from China? As a matter of fact, how much your medicine comes from China? All this adds up. Making sense to you, Melody, on this?
No, and you know, it's, you know, the medicine, and that's the most disturbing one, you know, for me. But, you know, and I talked about this last week, where we did show there was a sign of some factories moving out of China, but they're going to Vietnam and the other Asian countries, the Philippines, and so it's not any different. It's all the same. It's not here.
No, it's not here. If it's outside your borders, you don't really control it, do you?
Absolutely not.
So these are things people got to rethink, maybe perhaps, and understand that if we don't control production, then we do not control supply. So these are things we just don't think about anymore. You know, growing up as a young boy, most of the people that I grew up around in the little town I grew up in had their own gardens, and they heated their homes with wood and coal. So they cut their own wood, and they got a ton of coal mines, whatever it was. But they more or less were independent. They raised their own chickens. They had, you know, livestock. They had cattle, and they had hogs. They had all these things. People, and they raised most of their food. But today, that's no longer the case in most places, is it?
No, most people don't know. It's work. It's hard work.
It is work.
It really is hard work.
It is. My mom would can everything she could out of the garden. We picked wild strawberries, and they were delicious. She'd make preserves out of that. Anything she could put in a cellar to feed us through the winter, she took care of. And that's how we lived. And we lived well. We weren't millionaires, but we eat well, put it that way. We had good, fresh food we raised yourself. But that's no longer the case. People depend on Kroger's and food lines and Piggly Wiggly's and all the other things that they get their food from. And when the supply chain breaks, folks, it breaks. And right now it's a bad in Australia that the military is stocking the shelves. Oh, it won't happen here. Oh, yeah, it will happen here. When may you get time, we're going to discuss what happened in Tennessee with the executive order that the governor just signed. But anyway, companies that were planning on going back to work this fall, they had plans to put their people back in the office. They're scrapping the ideas. They said because the Delta variant has been spreading, they're revamping their schedules, with bosses, you know, delaying the office openings and canceling events. So this isn't over. By any means, this is not over. And this is something that people are going to face again now. This fall is here, Mel. The next month, fall starts. I mean, fall is here. It's here. We said no longer is a September return a target for many companies. Some employers, such as banking giant Wells Fargo and Company and managed care company Centricorp, have in recent days shifted return office dates to October. Meanwhile, a range of other prominent companies now predict it will be 2022 until the most workers return. And folks, if then. Amazon Incorporated on Thursday delays return for corporate employees to at least January 3rd from September. Lyft Incorporated pushed back its plan for office reopenings into February 2022. Other companies such as Dell Technologies and Dell have postponed fall returns in the U.S. without giving new reopening dates. Business travel at the company also remains largely restricted. So things are not back to normal. They will never go back to normal. Get over that idea. It just ain't going to happen. They're not going back to normal. They don't want it back to normal. So you better understand, this is not ever going to happen. Melody, if we just stop and look back over history, nations that constrict the rights of the people may back off and loosen a little bit to let people back get at ease again and get used to that. Or maybe go back to normal. Then it's tightening again, a little bit tighter than the last time. Then they let it up a little bit. They tighten again, a little bit tighter than the last time. And pretty soon they got it so tight, we're not going to get out of it. We're not going back to normal, are we?
I can't imagine that we are. I mean, normal is going to be redefined just like everything else they do. If they don't like the definition, they redefine it. But the reality is, you know, they could redefine things all you want, but the reality still happens to good people.
Amen.
It still happens. And just, you know, those that aren't affected as well will see it as a different way. You know, we were talking earlier about working Americans who still can't afford food and rent. And it's funny, the one sample here is the city with the lowest cost of living is Beckley, West Virginia. A childless worker still needs to earn about $28,000 to make essential ends meet. Again, the average American city has a cost of living around $30,000 a year for a single person. And look at the wages. I mean, they can't. There's an estimate that about 27 million U.S. workers don't earn enough to hit these low thresholds of $30,000. I mean, that's a lot.
It is. And you say Beckley's is the cheapest place to live in the country? I did not know that.
Yeah, that's what they say.
About 45 minutes south of me. Maybe I should move to Beckley. But anyway, no, I did not know that. That's amazing.
That's what this survey said. And they're doing the comparisons of incomes and why it's so hard for Americans can't afford food and rent. So,
well, that's so sad. It is.
It really is. This is America. We're supposed to be the richest nation in the world. And yet we have people who can't buy enough food. And we've always talked about there's no affordable housing in this country.
That's true. Well, I do know that we know the poor, according to Scripture, with us always, but the nation that turns into a socialist nation, all that does is make everybody equally poor. It doesn't really lift anybody up. It makes everybody equally poor to the point
that
everybody
suffers. It takes
everybody down.
Yes, it does. It takes everybody down.
And they're on a fast track, folks, to do that faster than ever before in history. Obama did a great job with Obamacare. Trump didn't help a whole lot in his time in office. That's just quite honest, folks. That's just the way it is. Now, Biden is taking us further down the road at a very quick pace. We may see a lot of things change in the next few months that we never dreamed possible in America. And I don't look forward to it, especially for children's sake.
Yep, we're heading into break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And we're back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I am here with Pastor Butch Paul. And where are we off to now, Butch?
Well, the article I'm about ready to read, and I want people to understand that I certainly am not throwing stones, because I depend on a Social Security check every month to come in from the government that I supposedly paid into for years, and I did. And you say, what's your money? I have no problem with that, but I don't control it. So if I don't control it, it's not really my money. Do you understand what I just said, folks? If it's not in your hand, it's not really yours. Same way with gold and silver coins. If you got them in a safe deposit box, well, they're mine, unless somebody wants to confiscate them. It's not, if it's not in your control, it's not your money. So this one we're reading now, folks, is not throwing stones. It's just another sign that people of America have turned their thought processes, have turned from free enterprise and self-sufficiency to socialism and communism. Activists call for federal bailout as high energy costs plague U.S. And I understand that completely. I do. I live here, too. The coalition of activist organizations is calling for a federal bailout for people who can't pay their utility bills, as well as suspension of service cutoffs. The Michigan Environmental Justice Coalition says the need for federal protection for the people who can't afford to pay electricity bills is particularly dire in Michigan, which is among the states with the fastest rising electricity rates. Last year, rates in Michigan registered their second highest rise nationally last year. Under proposal, the federal government would provide close to $40 billion to wipe out electricity, water, and broadband debt across the United States. Now, let me repeat that. The federal government is going to wipe out electricity, water, and broadband debt across the United States with $40 billion. Again, where does the money come from? It also includes a moratorium on shutoffs of essential services such as electricity and water supply. Of the total sum, $13 billion will be used to wipe out electricity debt. The bill also proposes offering low-interest forgivable debt to utilities that in turn forgive customer debt and drop and stop cutoffs. Okay, now let me get this right. Now let's see if I understand this. The bill also proposes offering low-interest forgivable debt to utilities that forgive the customer's payoffs. So if they forgive the customer's payoffs, the federal government will pay for their loss. Is that what I'm reading?
Kind of sounds that way.
Again, where's the money coming from? I mean, how does that work? When does it end? The impact of an unaffordable power system is that we punish people for being poor over and over again, said the Coalition of Energy Democracy Organizer. The Maintaining Access to Essential Services Act of 2021 was introduced in May by Senator Jeff Merkley, who said it would create a new program to protect all Americans' access to power, heat, and water and internet service during the coronavirus crisis and ensure that these critical home utilities are not cut off. Now Representative Rashida Tlaib of Michigan has introduced a House version of the bill this week. Oh my goodness, Melody, all this sounds good.
You made a statement that it punishes the poor people.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. It punishes people that are successful.
It punishes everybody in the long run.
Punishes everybody in the long run, but until we get in the long run, it punishes people who are successful. Like it's their fault that they're successful. And that they're not allowed to be successful. And it's just, I don't know.
It's another step into a socialistic society. People are getting used to it. They start getting used to it under Roosevelt in 1930s with Social Security. Social Security, folks, is a socialistic system. It's a socialistic system. It's called Social Security. And in Canada, it's called the SIN number. I'm not making it up. Social insurance number. But anyway, we have been falling in this rat hole for years, and for years I did not understand why it was leading us into destruction. I didn't understand. No one taught me in school about socialism to speak up. Mom and Dad didn't know. They were paying Social Security. They were paying Medicare. They didn't know. But when government takes over taking care of the people, the government owns the people. You become wards of the state. You cannot be a ward of the state and be a free individual. It's just that easy. Now, you'll move on a different topic, Melody.
Absolutely.
The clock is ticking. Count down the conflict between Israel and Iran. Folks, this has been prophesied. This is happening. And I agree with this article. If Israel goes to war with Iran, guess who we're with? And we will be. And this could very well lead to World War III. From what I understand the scriptures, Third World War was starting in the Middle East. All right, that is going to be the catalyst. But anyway, the clock has been ticking for a long time, and now Israel is telling us that Iran is only around 10 weeks away from acquiring weapons-grade materials necessary for a nuclear weapon. The Israelis have always been very clear about the fact that they will never, ever allow the Iranians to get to that point, and so that would appear to leave only 10 weeks remaining to avert a major war in the Middle East. And let us certainly hope that war can be averted, because a major war in the Middle East could easily spark a full-blown global war. And folks, it not only could, it will. U.S. relations with both Russia and China continue to deteriorate very rapidly, and the Biden administration is being aggressive with both of them. Most Americans don't pay much attention to foreign policy these days. That's because they don't think they will ever affect them personally. Folks, do you remember? No, we don't. I wasn't here. World War One, World War Two, all these wars affected us personally. Vietnam did too. I was part of that. So did the rest of the wars affect us personally. We lost loved ones. It cost money. But the truth is that while what is going on in the Middle East is of the utmost importance, a major war in the Middle East would deeply affect everyone. And right now the stage is being set for one to potentially begin before the end of 2021. Folks, that would disrupt the oil supplies. That's to be the least of our problems. It could cause more trouble with China and Russia. We're backing Iran. It could cause a worldwide conflict, and it will, because the sparks are still being set up in other places of the world. In Crimea, in Ukraine, in Taiwan. We'll discuss Taiwan in a minute. All over the globe, pressures for war are building. And when this happens in the Middle East, it's going to be the fuse that lights it. Get ready, folks. It is coming. And all I can say is it's been prophesied. I'm not going to set a date. It may happen this fall, may not. But I hope you're preparing yourself for it. I really do. It's going to affect you financially for sure. Take care of your families. Melody, anything you want to add to that?
No, just wars and rumors of wars.
That's right.
And,
yes.
You know, you're going to mention that you're going to talk about Taiwan. Well, the Indo-Pacific Command Chief says the U.S. is ready to defend Taiwan. We're ready. We're just waiting. He said that this is the other day that the U.S. military has the capability to defend Taiwan in the event of a Chinese invasion and that it is ready. Admiral John Aquilino told the Aspen Security Forum in Colorado that the U.S. adversaries are pushing the narrative that the U.S. and its military are in decline. He wants to be very clear. We have the world's greatest military on the planet. We are here to continue to operate to ensure peace and prosperity through the region, and we have to be in position to ensure that status quo remains as it applies to Taiwan. He goes on to say that, the chief said the U.S. would use the concept known as integrated deterrence in such an event, which means the combination of all warfighting domains, including space and cyber. So when we pull all those together, let me just say that I have a level of confidence that the U.S. military and Department of Defense is in a good place. These guys are wet. They want to use their weapons. That's what generals and all of these admirals and stuff are trained for. Now they got all their little toys in cyberspace and space, and Butch, they're just ready to use it. You know, it is like games, war games, and it's, I don't know, it's kind of scary.
It is kind of scary. But,
yeah.
This next article ties in with that somewhat, but it disagrees a little bit too with what the guy said, but I'll read it and we'll put it together. Chinese spacers.
I just want to say this one more thing, and this guy, his command, has been selling Congress on the Pacific Deterrence, PDI, and a plan to spend over $27 billion between 2022 and 2027 to boost U.S. military capabilities. And so Biden's budget has requested for 2022 a $5.1 billion for this. So they're ramping up.
They want more money. We spend more money in military than anybody in the world. That's a fact. The Chinese pressure sparks debate on Taiwan's resilience. This is out in Washington Times. Chinese expanding military provocations toward Taiwan have elevated concern among the United States and its allies that Beijing could be on the verge using force against the island democracy, which China considers to be an integral part of its sovereign territory. The pressure on Taiwan and other aggressive actions by the authoritarian communist government in China triggered debate over the extent to which aggression might backfire by boosting Taiwan's strong pro-independence forces and prompting the U.S. and others to deliver more robust support for Taipei. The Biden administration made rhetorical overtures of support for Taiwan, but analysts say the U.S. is as wedded as ever to one China. Let that sink in, folks. Analysts say the U.S. is wedded as ever to wedded as ever to the one China. Under the policy, Washington refuses to formally recognize Taiwanese independence, but helps the island defend itself and leaves ambiguous what the U.S. military would do in a shooting war. We used to hear Melody say that the general said we would defend him. This article says they're not sure. Because, let's face it, my friends, China all but feeds the U.S. China supplies 80% of what we need in the way of medicine. I don't think we want to antagonize them too much because people are going to pay for it big time for a lot of different reasons. And our economy certainly would collapse without Chinese input in a lot of different ways. Melly, I think that's a fair statement, don't you?
Well, it is. You know, and you talk about the things, but they also hold a lot of our debt.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
So
yes,
we've been talking about that for years and years and years. They're holding the weapons of mass destruction, called debt. So I don't know who owns who.
Well, you know, it's a sad state of affairs when we have to depend on a country that's a sworn enemy to take care of us. I mean, how much more insensible could we get?
Yeah, I know. I don't understand why people just can't look at that and say, what?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know what? It was all about power and money.
It is.
I mean, look at Wall Street. Look at everything that was built on, you know, through their ability to buy our debt. Everything was done on debt. All of our growth in this nation has been done on debt.
Yep.
All of your retirement accounts and everything is all based on debt.
Truly is.
I don't get it.
And through the 70s, the Middle East, the petrodollar kept us running. Through the 70s and the 80s and even the 90s, that's come to an end also. Yeah, folks, we're seeing a lot of things happen here. And I'll just skip through this very quickly, but the Taliban, we were withdrawn from with Afghanistan,
yeah.
Which I'll tell right now, we shouldn't be there in the first place. Shouldn't have been there, but we went in years ago, and they finally kicked your butt. Let's face it. They kicked their butt. Like they did in Vietnam. I can say this. I lost friends in Nam. I was there myself. Don't tell me that they embarrassed us. They whipped our tail. We come home defeated. Same thing Afghanistan. You can call anything you want to. We shouldn't have been in the first place. I totally agree with that. I had no problem with withdrawing the truth. But since we've done that, the Taliban's taken over province after province. Just like we did to the Vietnamese, the South Vietnamese were going to be on our side. They fought with us. We went off and deserted them. And who knows what happened to the thousands and thousands of those who supported the U.S. What happened to them? What did they do with them? I'm sure they're going to make heroes out of them. What's going to happen to the Afghanistan leaders who took our part? What's going to happen to them now they've been taken over? You answer the question for yourself, folks. America deserted another one, but they said they're going to stay there and help. Just the way it is. I don't like it, But I've lived it through it myself. And Mel, I'll never forget the day when I saw news, the withdrawal of Americans out of Vietnam, and the helicopters being overloaded with people trying to get out of there because they knew what was coming because they supported the U.S., and we walked out on them.
Yeah.
That doesn't leave a lot of confidence if the people in the world depend on us, does it?
Nope. We say we're going to be there, and then we're not.
Pardon?
We say.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
We say we're going to be there, but then we're not.
Yep, that's exactly right. And the pharmaceutical firms are raking in billions. I've covered this before. The pharmaceutical firms are raking in billions of dollars, folks, with COVID vaccine. I'm talking about Pfizer and Moderna and all of them. We are making these people unbelievably wealthy. And in Tennessee, the National Guard has been authorized for quarantines and involuntary commitment for certain health care operations. This is in Tennessee, Executive Order 83, signed by Governor Bill Lee this past Friday. The National Guard will be in the set up the quarantine and isolation facilities, not for the sick, but for the unvaccinated. And I'm going to make this, check it out for yourself. Executive Order number 83 has been signed and is now, we'll say, law in Tennessee. The Guard will be utilized in voluntary commitment and construction, quarantine, and isolation facilities. So there you go. Get ready.
All right. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. I got you.